I'm following this P. Diddy stuff. I know this episode's not going to come out for a couple weeks, but...
Yeah, I don't... I know, like, what I've heard, but then I, like... somebody was saying that there's, like, way extensive, like, he might be connected to the death of Tupac?
Well, the guy that killed Tupac, the guy that actually got arrested for the murder of Tupac, was the gunman's uncle, who was bragging about it on the Vlad podcast, I think. Vlad TV. And he was, like, saying, like, I was in the car when we killed Tupac. Like, it was his nephew, I think, who has passed away.
Whoa.
And then they arrested him. They were like, oh, well, we got you. So they, like, put him in jail, and he's like, shit. But then he immediately, as anyone does when they get arrested, just starts spilling the beans. And he was like, P. Diddy three times offered me money, me and the Crips, I think it was, to kill Tupac. Like, really? $1 million bounty. And this was, like, in 97. Almost pimps nodding, because I know he knows this shit better than I do.
Yeah.
I read his bio.
You read the bio? The guy's bio? Diddy's bio.
He didn't pay the biographer, so
it was a spite. Dude, I love that. If you're getting a biography written about you, pay the guy writing it.
Why would you not?
Because if you don't pay him, he's just going to make shit up. Or he's like, Dan's afraid of spiders. I'm like, I'm not afraid of spiders.
He's like finished with the book, and he's like, lets him know. He just gets a giant box of Sean John denim outfits. He's what the fuck?
This is the payment? Gene, no one's into all denim anymore. And then he just is like, let me open chapter 4 back up. Diddy wasn't even good at dancing.
Doesn't like heights.
It is crazy, though, that like, I'm not saying he's Epstein. But if there are a lot of Epstein-like allegations, and it seems to me, and this is just a dumb white kid from the suburbs who's saying this, there's a similar energy in what Epstein did with investors and their money and what Diddy did with musicians.
Yeah.
Was that they didn't really do the thing, they just facilitated a lot, where like Diddy facilitated Biggie being big.
That's the best gig. Just being a facilitator?
Just being like, oh, I'm going to put you, you're the greatest rapper I've ever met. I'm going to put you over 70s beats in like music.
I'm not even going to make the beat. I'm just going to
take it. And then we're just going to put you over it. And then we're going to make a ton of money. And then he just went on a run.
Yeah. There's beef with him in the like estate of Biggie too, right?
His flight took off and he went to an island.
With his sons, right?
I don't know. I just know his plane took off and I know that they went to an island that doesn't extradite.
Really?
Yeah. Which is...
innocent guy thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely innocent. You go, no, I just needed a second.
I was going to go to Tobago.
Oh, my God. You guys are being such dicks about this. I was going on vacation. Can't a guy go get some sun and fun in when some...
It's fucked up. I wanted to get some soca music. You know?
Also, let's just play the flip side, little devil's advocate. Absolutely the move I would do if I was in trouble and I had a plane, I would go... Well, we're leaving. It's not like you got to book a flight on Delta. You just go.
It's so wild because, like, I don't even have a kink, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even have a kink. I like good old meat potato sex, you know?
That's going to be the kink in 20 years.
Yeah, of course.
Is there going to be like your kid is going to be like, Dad, you're a sick fuck. You love intimacy?
You love kissing mom?
Oh, my God. And it really is becoming Aldous Huxley's Brave New World.
Yeah.
Where they're like, intimacy is bad. It's all about gangbangs and orgies.
Yeah, it's like everybody like lives with a group of friends until they're 45.
And they just fuck. Yeah. Which honestly...
Pretty fun.
Sounds like a rip.
Yeah, it's great.
You're also like... the idea of having a kink and then loving your kink so much that you become... worldly wealthy.
I feel like I would be a better comic, whatever, everything, if I had some sick darkness.
Yeah.
Like I look at like a lot of people who are like
the Louis thing, you go, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And you have to
shot him to the top.
You have to go like, I have to be so good that I'm above the darkness. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm gonna be so talented that it's gonna take years for people to find out the darkness.
It's literally like Batman was like, I gotta get Bruce Wayne rich to keep this up.
He goes, God, I love putting on a mask and beating the shit out of poor people.
I need to build out this cave.
All right, what if Wayne Enterprises starts making like weaponry? It's reverse. If Batman in reverse really is what Diddy is, where he's like, oh, I love feet.
I'll kill my parents. I'll pay somebody to kill my parents.
And then I'll just build up I want to throw boomerangs at people and not get in trouble. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy that Epstein was like, I love children, fucking them so much. I'm going to go become...
Well, teens. I mean, let's be fair.
Teens.
Isn't there a word for...
Yeah, it's like hebephile.
Yeah, something like
hebephile?
That. Hebephile. I love like the guy that pulls that out. Not bad. Not bad.
I mean, dude.
Heeb.
The second you make that distinction was like when I was an alcoholic and I would be like, well, I'm only drinking beer. Yeah. It's like, well, you have a problem.
Yeah. You I don't have a problem. I just have to have my friends handcuff me to something every once in a while.
So what? A pack of cigarettes out on my testicles gets me where I need to go. Sorry I created cold fusion. That's like the thing where you go, sorry I invented a fuel source that is ever renewable.
My whole thing when I was drinking and blacking out was always like, sorry I'm so much fun.
Yeah, dude, that was my thing. And then I got into therapy and my therapist was like, you're not fun.
Oh, I couldn't even get to therapy because I got arrested 6 times. It was like,
how old are you when you stopped drinking?
Well,
did I know you?
A little, but I was like bad in my late teens and 20s, early 20s. And then I kind of did mid 20s where it was like, I'll have a beer, but everybody who's drinking with me, you need to know that if I have 4, I'm gonna try to finger your wife.
There was like a warning.
Yeah.
You go, this is pretty cool. It's like hanging out with the Wolfman.
Yeah.
Where you go, it's fun. That moon goes full. Fucking run.
Yeah, get out of here.
Get out of here. What is crazy, it does make sense that you and Rosebud ended up together because you are like the wrong side of the tracks in your early 20s. And mm-hmm. she was like the cute rich girl that's like, I can't, you're too dangerous. And mm-hmm. you're like, I'll fuck this whole thing up. But then you guys met later in life and it worked.
But
So what I'm saying is the OC would have worked if they were adults.
I know.
And worked through their problems.
Let's get Ben and Mishka.
Misha Tate.
Misha, yeah.
No, that's a fighter. Kelly. Misha Kelly. But so you quit.
So I got arrested a bunch in like 19,
where'd you get arrested
20
for?
Lake Tahoe, Seattle, Bellingham, like where I was like in college.
Okay, but Tahoe.
Tried to be a professional skier.
Were you that good at skiing?
Yeah, I was really good. I wasn't good enough to be pro, and I found that out when I went down there. It was like mainly like a discipline and finances kind of thing.
Really? It was like you and a bunch of like French kids and like Swiss
French
kids?
There were some French. There was a lot of Americans that like went to ski academies.
Ski academy's a real thing? I thought that was like an 80s movie.
There's actually a kid who's killing it in comedy right now. He's like one of the guys that created that Sesh place. Is Lucas Zelnick. He's like a really good skier that went to a ski academy.
I'm fascinated by this because I grew up in Colorado.
Yeah.
Did not ski. Skied maybe
it's
6 or 7
it's
times.
It's an absurdly expensive. There's some people who can do the like A basin, go up and sleep in the back of your truck.
That was my friends. My friends would do that. My high school friends got really into snowboarding.
Yeah.
And I missed it. I completely missed it. Tried it once. Worst day of my life.
Yeah. I just got.
Could you snowboard?
So I was supposed to go to snowboarding when I was 13. And I got caught shoplifting and they said no snowboard. And
that was like your punishment.
Yeah. No, you don't get a snowboard for Christmas. But I was already so good at skiing. It wasn't fun to snowboard.
Did you start young?
2.
2 years old.
Yeah.
And your dad and mom would take you up. Where would you go skiing?
Whistler was the first
in
one.
In Canada?
And then like Stevens Pass, Crystal, mainly. And then like Central Oregon, Mount Bachelor.
Yeah. Hood. And was that like your thing? Was that like, if I was friends with you, if we were friends when we were 10 years old, would I know like there's some weekends Andy's go skis. We don't
every weekend.
Out. Every weekend.
Every weekend. Yeah.
And were you like amped for it during the week?
I was pretty fucking excited. I mean, like in elementary school, before my dad moved to the East Coast, he had a motorhome. He'd pick me up Friday night. We'd go to the mountain and we'd stay in the motorhome till Sunday night.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was.
And then you'd just ski all day.
Yeah. And there was like a little community, you know, like everybody brought their, and we'd have like bonfires. Did you have
nicknames? That's always in the 80s, like ski movies. They had like nicknames for the snowboarders.
I probably did, but it was like probably about how I was like a reckless asshole. I was totally fearless. And then
you
I broke
like
my
back
femur.
Bowls and stuff and like just go like on places where there were no trails.
When I was in high school. Yeah. That's when I started doing that stuff. When I was like actually competitive, what I was doing was Big Mountain, which is like where you jump off cliffs.
That's what I was just going to ask you.
Yeah.
Did you ever go out of a helicopter or anything? something?
I never had the money for a helicopter, but I definitely like...
I want to get so successful I can fund your ski kink.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I can just drop you out of a fucking helicopter. That was always the coolest. Whenever they'd play those videos,
yeah,
you know, like when you were renting ski equipment and they would show like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Warren Miller and all that.
That's Colorado porn.
Yeah.
Like people put those guys jumping out of helicopters and people that move to Colorado ski are like, oh, fuck. Oh,
well,
fuck.
That shit's look funny at that powder. Like, it really will like take over your entire... There's people whose whole life is just dominated by that desire to do that one sport, which is really bizarre. It's amazing.
But that's like...
You have to be so rich, though, to make it like...
You have to come in with a lot of money.
Or you design a life where you like literally live behind the Albertsons in Silverton.
Yeah.
And, you know.
God damn. So you probably went to like Vail. Did you go to all of them? Like,
yeah. I mean, I didn't do a lot of I did
Beaver Creek.
West Coast mainly when I was in like high school.
So like
college.
Big Bear.
Big Bear's actually kind of shitty. Big Bear's,
is it really?
I mean, it's in LA, so you're not going to get like powder or big. There's occasionally they'll get like a dump and people will like put together. It's mainly about park, which is like the jumps, the half pipe, the rails.
Could you do all that?
Yeah.
On skis.
Yeah, I mean, I went skiing last year.
That is crazy.
With those guys last, like Ari and Mark.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah. And Ari does a ski. Ari Shafir does a ski trip every year where he goes to either Park City or Colorado.
Although he got like too big this year, and he was like, "Oh, I can just sell this room out myself."
That's so funny. No stories needed.
Yeah, but it was an amazing trip, and it was like the one time where I was like, I had the upper hand on everybody in a comedy situation. Well,
now you're doing your thing.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, you could fucking... It's kind of like the way I felt when like when I found Chris DiStefano was like 2-time All-American Division III basketball player.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so you're like, he'll be very modest about it now. And I'll be like, you can pick up a basketball and play. And he's like, ah, kind of. And I'm like, no. I can't pick up a basketball and play. But you were like... So you don't ski often now, right?
This will be the first year that I haven't skied if I don't go skiing before the season's end.
Do you?
I used to go...
Is there an itch?
Yeah, for sure. It's always like at the beginning, but I'm so racked by all the injuries that like I'll ski like a couple days and then I'll be like, oh man, it's like kind of crunchy. I like compressed the like lower part of my spine. I've blown out both knees. This one got operated on.
Would you do that thing? And this is for everyone at home that's like me and has only watched these ski videos where you see the knees going up.
That's moguls. Yeah.
Yeah. You do moguls.
I was never that good at it. I trained for him, but I never mastered that like perfectly.
There was this guy who I always was joking around in high school and college was like the perfect guy. He was a male model, an Olympic skier, and a football player for the University of Colorado. His name is Jeremy Bloom.
I know of Jeremy Bloom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, he's like an unbelievable.
He was in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he also was a kick returner for the University of Colorado. I played him in 7-on-7 football. He was like the fastest kid I've ever seen in my life. And he was a male model.
It's so
and
insane.
And he was like, you're like, how do you...
If you have
if
that
if you're
life,
a guy like me and you're just like, I've got like a pear body and I'm just like, I can do a good macho man. You're like I sucked at football and I would see that. And it was like, when you grow up not good at anything and you see someone like that, there is a feeling of like, oh, I'm just a piece of shit. So it's got to feel good when you can make people feel like that when you go skiing with like Norman and Ari and all that.
I can only do it with normies because like when I actually went out with the other guys that were at my level, like I'll tell, like I think I've said this before, but like I was in Tahoe, I was 18 or 19 years old. I'd realized I was not going to make it.
Did you show up thinking you were hot shit?
Yes.
You showed up being like, here comes the Seattle kid.
I knew I wasn't the best. I mean, this was like the ski scene was exploding. There was already celebrities, but we were, me and a couple guys.
Because we're the same age. You're 40?
I'm 41.
41. So we're the same age. Yeah. I'm about to be 41.
And we're doing a road gap, which is like you jump over it was just a 2-lane highway, but it wasn't like.
That's like a video game. What are you playing, 1080 on N64?
It wasn't.
That's crazy.
It wasn't giant, though. It was like,
I don't give a shit. You're jumping a road, dude. Yeah. I couldn't go off of jumping rollerblades. Like, I fucking, one time on rollerblades, I took a jump and I was wearing wrist guards and I came down and it knocked the wind out of me. So I was just doing that thing in the front lawn going, because I couldn't fucking breathe. So you're going, you're jumping.
You became a baby calf.
Yeah, I was like, and then they're like, Soder's sucks at everything. But you jumped a road.
Yeah, well, but I was getting ready to jump it. It was like the first couple jumps. And I was with like these two kids that were like, you know, 16 or 17. I'm 18 or 19. And I'm also like very aware that I'm an alcoholic already.
Already?
Because I'm blacking out at parties and really making an ass of myself.
Yeah, but then you're just ripping it on the slopes.
Kinda. But then everybody else is lining up and they're talking about what they're going to do. And they're like, I'm going to do a backflip. The other guy's like, I'm going to do a misty flip. And the whole time I'm going to try to get from this side to the other.
Yeah.
And when I thought about that, I was like, oh, this is over.
So, yeah, you just show up and there's just a different caliber of guys. There's just a Swiss guy who's like, hey, American, maybe you can follow me on the other side. You have like European bad guys in your life pretty quickly.
Yeah, there's guys that were just like, they were just so like...
This is nothing compared to the Alps.
Yeah, they're just like guys that could just go like 20 feet in the air doing like multiple flips and spins and just casually land. And if I do it, I'm going to like break every vertebrae in my back.
Did you ever try to do that shit?
I mean,
here's where I think you should deserve some of the credit. The attempt at doing a backflip on skis or doing a misty flip on skis.
I've actually never done a backflip, but I've done front flips.
Crazy.
I've done 720s. I've done kind of like a cork 720.
That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, I was really good, but not. I'm trying to think of like what the.
Does that make you drink more when you show up and you see these guys and you immediately go like, I'm not in their class.
I mean, I think they were correlated very much because it was just like, I got down there, thought it was going to be literally the movie Hot Dog or Ski Patrol. Like I thought it was going to be awesome.
Yeah. You were doing out cold. You're like, here we go. Who's my Galifianakis?
I'm going to have the craziest sex and it's going to be wild.
Yeah.
And
some blonde girl whose dad owns the mountain and you have to ski her ex-boyfriend. Yeah,
I have to race
her. You're going to be like, sorry, Misty's not into you unless you win the open.
Totally. I thought it was going to be exactly, because I'd gone down my senior year for a competition.
It's funny because your wife's name is like a name that would be in a ski movie. Where you're like, Rosebud is in India unless you...
Rosebud's dad said that you can't come to the ball.
Sorry, bro. You've got to win the race.
I'm working valet. I'm like, I'll see you on the hill tomorrow. Yeah.
Your dad's just like a loving guy in a van.
He does the cat at night.
Yeah. When he goes, come on, man. You know we're different than them, Andy. And you're like, I'm just telling you, Dad.
We didn't need all those fancy thrills.
Do you remember when me, you, and your mom would just hit the slopes? Like, hey, those days are over, Dad.
Mom's gone.
Dude, I love it. And then you're like fucking waxing your skis. Oh, dude. That is incredible. I never knew that about
when you. When you wax skis, when you fix a hole on the ski, you use this stuff called P-Tex.
Yeah.
It's like this plastic and you set it on fire and it drips onto the hole and becomes part of the base.
Yeah.
And it makes the sound of a zipper when the drip falls off. It's like one of the most satisfying things in the world. It goes, zzz, zzz. It's on fire too. Yeah. It's like a fire burning plastic thing. And then you like...
Raycons offer amazing quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. Don't believe me? How about their tens of thousands of five-star reviews? Raycon's optimized gel tips are designed to fit comfortably in your ears to actively stay there. You know, they stay in your ears. Some just fall right out and you're like, why aren't you doing this? But they have that thing that grips where it like molds to you, where you're like, oh, now you feel a part of me. I use them when I'm just running around. If I don't want to have wires in front of me, I just throw in my Raycons, boom. They come with me everywhere I go so I can listen all the time. With 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life, I don't have to worry about if they're up for the task or if they're going to die on me. There's three customizable sound profiles. There's earbud tap functions, noise isolation, and awareness mode. Go to buyraycon.com/soder today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/soder. buyraycon.com/soder. Better help, dude. Listen, I'm in therapy. Everyone needs therapy. I pump it all the time. Talk to someone. A lot of your problems can be soothed or helped by talking to a professional. The question is, do you have the time for it? And if you do, the time is unlimited, and how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that is into your schedule is by going to betterhelp.com and getting hooked up with a therapist that you gel with, that you understand, that understands you. You want to find a therapist that gets you. I'm telling you right now, if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited for your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for whatever makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/soder today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/soder. Hey, everybody. I'm going to be at Dr. Grin's, Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm coming back. I haven't been there in a little bit, so it's fun to come back and work Grand Rapids at Dr. Grin's. I'm going to be there May 16th through the 18th. Five shows. Get tickets at dansoder.com. And then Columbus Funny Bone, two nights at the Funny Bone, one of my favorite clubs in the country. I love coming to Columbus. Last time was a blast. May 31st and June 1st, I'm going to be at the Columbus Funny Bone. And then all the dates of Burt Kreischer's Fully Loaded Tour. We're talking 3 weeks in June. Going to be going from places like Canton, Ohio, Savannah, Georgia, Macon, Georgia, Pittsburgh, Brandon, Missouri, Orange Beach, Alabama, Indianapolis. Oh, Indianapolis is later. I'll see you later just by myself. But Fully Loaded Tour. Go to dansoder.com/tour. Come on out. I'll see you. I'll see you there, right? 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 Is there a world where you're 60, 65, you and Rosebud have enough money? Do you just go live in Vermont and ski or like live?
I mean, if you're going to do it like that, you got to go. I Utah. Mean, Vermont's not worth it. Go to Utah, go to Colorado.
So I growing up in Colorado, this is like a through line in most of our episodes. I was just a poser in high school.
Yeah.
I was just like, didn't skate, didn't BMX, couldn't do anything. I have no athletic.
I was very similar, just so you know.
Yeah, well, you're actually doing shit. But I would always, when I moved to Arizona, I became like, when people would be like, oh, I go skiing, I'd be like, not in Colorado. Like I knew, and I only went like a handful of times, and I'd be like, nothing's like Vail on the back.
Yeah, I'm not going up to Prescott. It's not worth my time.
Sorry, dude, that's all ice. So when you go, like when you're going up to be a pro skier, what is the first move in that? What is like the first, like, all right, I'm going to go down to this mountain and live?
Or? Well, so how it works is like you are a kid and you do ski lessons or whatever, young, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get good enough and they go, oh, you should join the race team. So you join a race team, which is the gates, you know, you're doing the slaloms and things like that. Sometimes people will go straight to like moguls or freestyle, which is the moguls or the big jumps where you're doing multiple flips.
Yeah.
Or if you're fucking insane, I've never met a long jumper in my life. That's the one where it looks like they're flying.
Yeah. Are those the craziest out of all the skiers?
I think that one probably has the highest, besides the guys who are doing like giant flips off cliffs. That's or the park. I mean, but it's like different. So like, it's like kind of like almost like comedy or jazz music or something where you go through and you start doing something very formal, like ski racing or moguls, and you're training and you have coaches and you're doing trampoline exercises and you're going to the gym and all this stuff. And then the stuff that you start doing on your off days, which is the park or skiing out of bounds and things like that, that you get so good at that, then you can compete in those competitions.
Okay. So you kind of find your way.
Yeah.
If it's like, oh, I was good at doing flips just on the weekends and shit, I'm going to do that for real.
Well, there was also like, I was right at the transition where it was like, there was the park and that was for snowboarders and skiers did moguls. And then one day skiers just started going into the park.
Did that ever bump up? Like all the movies said,
Not for my generation. Okay. It was like,
cause we were young enough that snowboarding was like mainstream by the time we were in high school.
Yeah. I remember there was like a couple mountains when I was like 5 or 6 that didn't allow snowboarding.
Yeah.
No, it's only Alta. Alta, for some reason, still won't allow
snowboarding. They still won't.
It doesn't make any sense.
Damn, they're like the Masters where they won't let, you know, Augusta still doesn't let women in, and they just let their first black guy in, and they're like, we're working there. And they're like, no snowboarders. If we catch you with just one ski, you're fucking out of here.
Yeah, no mono skis.
Yeah, no mono skis. But so was there any temptation to go to snowboarding, or were you like,
of course, yeah.
You I were mean, like
I,
locked
I was in the- Seattle, I skated, and it was the height of grunge. It was like, yeah, of course. I'm going to go. Terry J. Hackinson, the greatest snowboarder in the world, lived in Mount Baker. It was like everything I wanted. It was so much cooler than skiing. But then about 3 years later, skiing got cool.
Yeah.
And so I
was like, who? Like Peekaboo Street and like Johnny Mosley?
Those were all the Olympic athletes. These guys, they were called the French Canadian Air Force. And it was this guy, that, like, I think a couple of them are dead now. J.P. Auclair, J.F. Cousone. There was a couple other guys. I know them because I went to their camps in the summer in Whistler.
And they would be like, you are not going to fly unless you want to fly with the French Canadian.
It's actually funny because one time
you do not have a fur skin. You will never get good air.
You do not know how to ski on ice, so you are a pussy.
Or they're just like Quebecois.
Well, that's the whole thing about the East Coast too, is like they all ski on the worst conditions.
Yeah,
and
it's
they,
all ice.
They learn how to do these crazy things that we don't even try to do on soft snow. And then they move to the West Coast or British Columbia. And they are like, what are you guys talking about? This is the easiest thing. Like a day that we'd be like, this is too icy, they'd be like, this is powder.
Yeah.
But I went to their camps. So Whistler has a glacier that is open all summer.
Okay.
So you put your skis on the back of the ski lift, you take the ski lift up in your sneakers and shorts, and you eventually get to the glacier, you put on all your snow gear, you ski during the day, and there's jumps and there's moguls and there's all these things. It's very specialized.
It's a not glacier.
Cash. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And they ran camps called, I don't even remember what it was. I think it was called High North or something like that. But JF Cousson, one of my heroes, one of the greatest styled freestyle skiers. I wasn't good enough to compete in the last day's like big air competition.
Sure.
But he was like, you should just jump naked. It would be funny. And so I was like, all right. And so I like ski down naked.
How old are you?
Maybe 18.
Okay, so this
and
isn't
also, he's not that much older.
I don't know if we're going back to like a PBD situation where we're finding out you got groomed by a skier.
I just start crying, but I'm still telling the story.
There was a lot of touching that I wasn't okay with.
He helped me put on my boots.
Yeah, and he goes, no, in Quebec, this is how we show a sign of trust.
This is stretching.
No, let me stretch you out. I'll stretch your butthole.
But I crashed. And
naked?
Yeah, butt naked. I crashed. And
how cold is that?
Oh, it was the worst. I had like scratches all over my ass.
Oh, dude, I bet your wiener's bright pink.
And they just were playing
rolling
the
around
video,
you got a little pigtail
at the like celebration that night. And he just kept on like rewinding and fast forwarding because it's just my dick is shriveled so small. Like, look at your little penis. That's this so is why funny. You crashed.
They have the French comfortableness of sex in America. Where you go, look at this. If one American dad's there, he's going, "What the fuck are you showing?"
Hey, we got to get out of here, Logan.
Hey, we're not okay with this, all right? Skyler, let's get the fuck out of here. He goes, look at your little balls, your little hairless balls. They are tucked so nicely into your body. You're like, fuck you guys. So he got you to jump, and then you crashed, and then he made fun of you.
Yeah.
This guy actually sounds like he's pretty awesome.
He's pretty awesome. But yeah, that was like up until, I think, I moved back from Tahoe when I was 19. I went to
so
Real
you moved
College.
Down to Tahoe to be like, let's fucking go.
Oh yeah, I didn't get to this. So I thought it was going to be Hot Dog. I thought it was going to be Ski Patrol the movie, right?
Yeah, you thought you're showing up, you're going to get the babe, you're going to win all the races.
Yeah, it's going to be partying. So I get down there. Nobody will rent us an apartment because it's me and all my 18-year-old friends. It's four 18-year-olds.
And now that I'm 40, I'm like, those are smart.
Yeah, of course.
That's a smart move. At
and
18,
when we
you're
finally
like,
got
what
a place.
What is this? What's this? Just, you guys are so fucked up. And
yeah,
at 40,
why don't you guys believe us? We have the money.
Yeah, and at 40, you go, no, that's good. That guy's doing good business.
Yeah.
That guy's fucking smart.
And so we lived in a motel on the Nevada-California border for like the first 1 or 2 months connected to a casino.
So you're pretty close to Reno.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, Reno's my airport. That's how I'm getting home.
Okay.
And also like, you know, if we're going to have a day,
you're going to go to
Reno, you're going to get Chinese buffet, you're going to buy like, you know, some skate shoes.
Yeah.
You know, stop by the Verizon store, look at all the fucking
flip phones.
Yeah, be like, fuck, that's sick, dude.
Dude, that's sick. You could text so fast on that pad.
It's color, dude.
Oh, dude, that's fucking sick, bro. Where they are, when you're in this ski, when you're going to be a pro skier in Tahoe, is it the same kind of energy as like surfers have? Are they what's up, bro? Like that kind of like.
I actually left. Like that was another thing is I was going to school at night. I'd always been like into creative stuff and kind of, this sounds very pretentious, but I was like, you know, I was into like intellectual stuff, right? Yeah. And I was at, my school was in the Truckee High School at night. That's where my college was. It was a satellite campus. So like this little junior college had classes in the high school at night.
It's very funny that you were like the skier that's bettering himself.
Yeah.
While everyone else is like, hey, Andy, you want to go rip lines and fucking party with town babes? And you go, hold up, I'm learning.
Hey, I have a sociology exam tomorrow, you guys. Quiet down.
Guys, I'm learning algebra, but at an advanced level.
But there was like two famous Oscar or Tony nominated actors came to town to do like a play or something. And in this small little theater. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go see that. I just like
sure.
seeing shit like that. And I saw one of my snowboarder friends there that was like a pro. And he was like, dude, this sucks. And I was like, what? And he's like, we have to go to this play. This is gay.
Yeah, and dude, this like, sucks so bad. These guys are just going to like fucking talk.
It's like
and so not throw themselves. Lame. I don't, it's just like structure or whatever and like an three acts.
And I had to pretend like I was like, yeah, dude, this is sucks.
Dude, dude, it's so funny when you realize all the stuff in your late teens that you were into that you had to feign like you weren't.
Oh, yeah.
In order of acceptance.
Well, because you also had single mom, right?
Yeah.
So it's like the whole thing is it's like when you don't have a man in your life, you grasp at like what it means to be a man and you go way too far.
That's exactly it. You also become like, I only watched my dad socialize in the setting of a bar.
Oh, yeah.
So my identity of talking to men was bar conversations. So I, that's why sports, I'm such a big sports fan because yeah. I could be like, see that Warriors game? And then I'm having a conversation with a guy, but we're having a conversation. And I'm like, I'm doing it in my head. I'm like,
that's literally what I do. Yeah.
I'm manning. Like, I'm being a man.
Now I just go like, I go, I'll be like talking to somebody and I'll in my head, I'll be going, this is going pretty well. You're doing good.
Yeah.
You're acting real normal right now, Andy.
That thinking was exactly how, because one time I was on a podcast and this lady was like, did you ever try to piss off your mom's boyfriends or like get him to leave? And I was like, no, I wanted him to like me.
My mom never had a boyfriend.
Really?
It was so whack, yeah.
What do you mean? She hurt you and your...
She just closed up shop.
Your dad?
Yeah, it was real weird. She just... I think she went on a couple dates and like I would hear her talking on the phone about it, but I'd never met...
You never met a guy.
There was never a romantic partner and it was just my dad and then my dad moved to the East Coast and then the men in my life were gay men. And so then I would go to high school and dudes would be like... So I was fingering this bitch last night.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yeah, was it, did it, was it wet?
What did the pussy do? What did, I remember one time I was cybering, you know,
yeah,
on AOL. And I said I was like a 23-year-old guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's probably another guy at the other end, but it said it was a lady.
And so you and another teenage boy.
Yeah, me and just me and another boy just gaying off and not knowing it. But I was writing like, she wrote like, my thong is full of cum. And I go, you girls can't cum. Like, I just didn't know that. And the lady was like, what? And
how
I was
old
like,
are you?
Huh? I was like 12. And I was like, oh, but I said I was like a 23-year-old guy. I was like, I don't, never, fuck. I got to go, bloop, and then the door shut on the conversation. But you, I mean, you're like, you know, talk about being a poser. You're like being a poser as a guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're like, I don't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I'm like going to school in the hood, and it's like the height of gangster rap, and then skateboarding and grunge, and I'm just this.
Did you have long hair?
So at some points, but I was chubby too.
Okay.
It was just like so awkward.
So you look like the oldest son in Home Improvement?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
And then...
Good visualization.
My sister is like around 15, becomes a militant dyke. You know?
Nice.
And so it's like we have like activists and then my uncle's like old gay caddy friends.
Yeah.
And there's not a fucking guy like within arm's reach for me. So I'm constantly struggling. I remember I like was listening to gangster rap and I came home one time and I was like talking to my sister or something. She said something and I was like, bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks. And she just punched me in the nose.
So funny.
And then just spit in my face. That's it was like
so funny.
I got fucking bodied by my sister. But and my mom was like, you deserve that.
She also saved you from.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'd be Matt Rife right now.
This conversation right now, you'd be like, you know what I mean? Shawty's just be all up on my shit. But instead, you're
have the
gay.
Hat, like, oh, yeah, I don't want to flat brim. Where it's like flat brim, but it's like sitting on the top of your head like this. And you're like,
you'd have that fucking, you'd have, yeah, dude, I would love you. By ain't nothing better than a girl getting all creamy. And you'd be like, oh, no one even talks like that. But it's great you had a gay sister that was like, shut the fuck up, loser.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you don't have a dad around, you are constantly looking to fill that in any way you can. And most of the time it was like, now I kind of went through the opposite where my mom and dad broke up. My mom started dating immediately. So I went through all phases of guys coming over from the start of them going, and who is this? You know, and I'm like, my name's Dan, all the way up until I was 18. And they were like, how you doing? And I'd be like, good, how are you?
It was like white baby boy.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It was exactly like that. Because I got big in high school.
Yeah, I bet.
I got big like my junior year. And I was working out. I was playing
still
football.
Still not sports? Oh, you were playing football.
I was playing football. I wasn't good at it, but I was playing football. Yeah. I was good at running into people. Yeah. That was it. But I was working out a lot, taking weight gainer. I was like trying to get to like 215 pounds.
Yeah.
That's like what I wanted to get to. And I remember just like going to the weight room every day, and it just changed the way my mom's boyfriends would approach me when I'd come home. They'd be like, hey.
That's awesome.
And dude, I'd be like, I got a lot of issues because of my dad. And I was like,
you probably did smoke.
I was already smoking.
Yeah.
So I was just like, hey, dude, I remember one time. my mom went on a date with this fat redheaded dude, and he came over to our house, and I drove a 96 Dodge Stratus.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, dude. I bought, you know, it was pretty cool. It was
that's awesome.
Half graduation present, half paid for by me.
Sick.
It was in the driveway, and the guy walked up. And he goes, whose gay ass car is that? And I was like, that's my gay ass. And I was like smoking with my friends. I was like, that's my fucking car. And the guy was like, all right. And it was like a moment where he was like, oh shit, okay. And
he's my mom, redhead too.
Yeah, my mom went on a date with him, came back. She's like, that guy sucked. And I was like, yeah, fuck him. He called my car gay.
Ginger bitch, yeah, get out of here.
I would always like, I was never confrontational, but I was a little aggressive when my mom would bring guys over.
Yeah, yeah, I'd be
like, but at first, when I was a kid, I was like, can I be your son? I was like, will you pick me up and hold me on your hip?
Well, I think there's two kinds, and I'm not saying you fit into either of these, so it's kind of a flawed theory, but I've always thought that there's like two kinds of single mom boys.
Yeah.
There's one, you're close with your mom and you kind of understand women. There's a little bit of confidence of it, and you kind of end up like a little bit of a like player, like a Pete Davidson or something.
I have a
like
friend
that.
Who I have a friend exactly like that, who grew up with a very stylized mom. She was like into fashion. She got,
I think,
him
it's
into
a young
fashion.
Mom thing too. If you have a young mom,
my mom was older.
Yeah.
So my mom was older. I grew up with my mom like a roommate.
Yeah.
Like we grew up.
That's
like
how I grew
like,
up with mine.
Where I was like, hey, I mowed the lawn. I'm gonna hit it. I'm gonna go out. She'd be like, all right, come home before midnight.
I'd
be
my like, mom right. like would catch me with weed, and she'd be like, listen, I can't tell you not to do it, but I think it sucks. And
yeah.
Like, all right. Well, cool.
That was when I was 16. My mom was like, do you smoke? She called it dope, which I always thought was funny because you're like, that's heroin.
Yeah.
But my mom was like, do you smoke dope? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, cool, I used to too. And then just went back to watching the news. And I was like, so what does this mean?
Yeah.
And she goes, well, if you're going to smoke weed, I'd prefer you smoke it here, not in the house, but like backyard or garage, and don't drive.
Yeah.
Like no one's allowed to drive, but I'd rather you do it here.
How old were you when 16. You really started?
Oh, I was like 14.
I think I started at 12.
12, I started smoking cigarettes.
I think this is crazy. My mom was not that proactive. She had her moments, but I think a friend.
Did you primarily live with her?
Yeah, always. Okay. I never lived with my dad other than like summer.
Yeah. You know?
But my friend's dad was a deadhead.
Oh,
and he was
shit.
Like, the Grateful Dead are coming. The actual Grateful Dead.
Yeah. And, Jerry Garcia.
Yeah. And I went to 2 years in a row. My mom just let me go, and it was like very obvious.
Yeah, a more Colorado version of that is I went to Dave Matthews Band every summer and would just get annihilated.
Dude, we would do Dave Matthews at the Gorge.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did Red Rocks 1 year.
Yeah.
But then we'd do like, you know,
we are the character when black comics do the white guy voice. It's us.
Yeah. It's Hank, and it's also. What I find the best about black comics impressions of us that they really nail is the like finicky nerdiness of
us.
Oh,
yeah.
Where you go, no, like the frustration where you go like, well, that's not exactly what I'm, you're like, yeah, God damn it. When I saw the first time I saw that on Def Jam, I was like, fuck.
Yeah, I love the details where it's like, you get home and you put your shoes in the closet. You're like, fuck.
Yeah. Yo, this motherfucker be getting home from the bus stop, want a snack. And you go, yes, I do. Usually there's brownies cooked.
I kind of cut a bunch of carrots up like earlier in the week.
Oh, you don't like ants on a log, Jamal. You don't like ants on a log. It's peanut butter and raisins on salary. It's fun and delicious.
It's so fucking good.
Yeah. But when you grow up like that, it's interesting because like when I grew up and I talked to my friends with dads, like real dads, like Shane.
Yeah.
Like Shane's dad was like a dad. And you're like, that's a different kind of world.
You're like a...
Vecchione. Vecchione was like
a fuller person.
Vecchione was like, well, I think you have a confidence of a man being around.
Yeah,
so you
yeah.
have like, so that's why I'm saying when you're doing this ski school and you're able to like go and do a jump over a road, I don't even have that confidence.
Yeah.
So that kind of confidence, I think is, by the way, I'm not criticizing it. I'm genuinely saying I think it's fucking awesome that you were able to be like, I'm gonna jump this road in my skis.
But it was weird because I lived in the city. So I literally would, I'd be at a party and I would like be like, I'm actually kind of nice at skiing. But
skiing too is a weird one. Yeah. Like you want to say, did you want to say snowboarding? Was there ever a moment where you were like,
I would put on ski movies and be like, I can do that.
That's so funny. You
know? Like, and everybody at the party would be like, this sucks.
That would be like me putting on The Simpsons when I was young and doing the voices where I'd be like, yeah, I do Ralph Wiggum.
Watch this.
I'd be like, my
face is on fire.
I'm like, that's me.
The girl's just talking to the jock next to you. Yeah, she goes,
I don't know who this retarded guy is. And I go, my mom's my best friend. I love my mommy.
Tastes like burning. Yeah. That's the sandbox. I'm not allowed there. That's where I saw the leprechaun. He told me to burn things.
And she goes, yeah, my pussy's dry. Just kidding. Because you're right. Because the guys with moms that they were close to got the women.
They understood women.
I mean,
my mom.
I'm not going to give out the names because there's two of my friends who were straight up pussy hounds.
Yeah.
But also close friends, single moms. Very style.
Yeah.
Like very like stylish.
My friends that had like young moms that were kind of like let them in on that world and treated them like my little
man, my little husband.
They were like fucking in their tinted out Civic. You know what I mean?
They're just like
selling weed.
They're like, yeah, I just got a blowjob before biology. And you're like, I haven't kissed a girl.
Yeah, nobody's ever touched me
down
there.
It's so funny that I'm trying to hit on girls, and I'm like, can I make you a cocktail and put on some Bonnie Raitt? And they're like, old mom sons are like,
hold on, let me put on some Simply Red real quick.
I don't know if you noticed this, but I cleaned the kitchen. She's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You want some Sauvignon Blanc? Yeah. We're 15.
Yeah. You ever had a nice souffle? And she's like, what the fuck are you making me? But then when I got, because in college, I didn't get girls my age.
Yeah.
I got older women.
Oh, wow.
And that makes all the sense in the world.
I was such a bad drunk that I didn't get any.
Really?
Like occasionally, but it was so messy.
I could drink like an older man.
Oh yeah.
So I would get drunk with these older women, and then they'd be like, this young guy's into me, and I'd be like, lady, ain't no young women into me. Like that old soul shit is only good for older pussy.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get, you're not getting, I wasn't getting like babes at Arizona because I went to University of Arizona. They looked right through me.
You were getting like disillusioned, like honestly, wives, second wives.
It was when I started working at KFMA. And I was getting like early 30s when I was like 20, 21.
That's great.
And they would be like, oh, this young guy has like an older personality.
That's awesome.
And that's when I started realizing like, oh, I'm being funny gets the attention of older women.
So did you skip
women.
The entire fake tan and platinum blonde?
Oh, yeah. They never fucked with me.
Yeah.
They never, the second I thought, here's my foolishness in moving to Arizona. I thought it was going to be like CU Boulder just in Tucson. And it was day and night.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because I was used to going, my friend Zach's brother Josh went to Boulder, and Josh was our friend. So we'd go up there and stay at his apartment. We'd go to like, you go to the Hill, you go to like these like house parties. Even the frat parties were more like Animal House than anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You pay, you get a cup, you go in. And we were like
more, a little bit more laid back too.
Way more laid back. And the frats there were like, oh, if you paid for a cup, you could come party.
Yeah.
And everyone was smoking weed. Everyone was listening to The Dead, Fish, String Cheese
reggae
Incident,
shit like that.
Reggae and shit. And they'd be like drinking. And it was like, it was like what I expected college to be. And then I moved to Tucson and I was like, this is day and night. It was all cocaine and Range Rovers and people being like, you don't have your dad's credit card. And you're like, I don't even have a dad. Like, this is a bigger problem. And
that's rough, man.
And I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated it. And I was going to transfer. My freshman year, I was like, I'm fucking done. I'm going to go to Boulder or UNLV. I had a friend at UNLV.
I think
my friends lived there.
It was supposed to be a pretty fun school.
I went up there and I was like, this is pretty fun.
Rebels?
Yeah, the running Rebels. And I was like, I might transfer. And then my mom was like, my mom just said this simple thing where she goes, I thought you'd give it a year at least. And I was like, I don't know. I don't really like it. And she's like, I don't know. I didn't really think you were a quitter like that. Ooh. And it was like, well, now.
She pulled out that.
Yeah. And you're like, well, now I'm staying.
That mom assassin shit.
Yeah. And what I ended up doing is I ended up getting into college radio my second semester. And then I was like, oh, I kind of like this. And then I got into radio. I started working at the radio station in Tucson and doing stand up.
That's fucking
awesome.
And
that was my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I would go, I'd hang out with people from U of A, but mostly Thursday nights I was at the open mic or at the show at Laughs, just trying to get a guest spot. Mm-hmm. And then I was working at KFMA overnights every night.
That's
so I was like rocks. Literally hanging out with people that were 28.
Yeah.
And I was 19, 20, and I was like, oh, this is where I wanted. These are the people I like hanging out with.
Yeah, I think that was kind of similar. I liked school. Always liked it. I went to the hippie school. Like, it was like definitely my speed, but it was just like, I didn't care.
So after you do this junior college, after you spend
your I just go to Western Washington University.
So you just were like, once you gave up skiing, you're like, I'm gonna go to Western
Washington. I still wanted to ski, but I didn't really know. I think I wanted to go to film school or something like that. I didn't really know, but somebody had told me, you know, get a like undergrad or something, and I could still ski a bunch in this town, Bellingham. It's like right by Mount Baker.
Sure.
Biggest snowfall in the world. It's got the most snow in the world.
Did you ever do the thing? I'm always interested by people who can like play the piano. Mm-hmm. And like do that moment where they just like sit down and they go like, and then they just start like jamming out.
Yeah.
Did you ever not tell anyone you were good at skiing and then like clip in and be like you get to do the thing with your goggles where you go, hey, try to keep up. And, you put it down, and then you go like, foo, 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 foo.
I wish that I had that kind of composure, but I think I probably fucking.
You'd be too excited.
I know myself. I'd just be like, you're going to fucking be blown away by how good I am. You know?
You blow your load on the car ride up there. You're like, I'm going to fucking knock your socks off with this shit.
But I don't know. I mean, I might have played it cool because I definitely like, I in college and stuff, it was like I dated girls that skied and shit. So
yeah, and they'd be
a
like,
bit better.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think I probably got laid a couple times with
just
some,
by being
some
fucking
moves.
Incredible at skiing.
But not when I was in Tahoe. When I was in Tahoe, what I eventually ended up was like living 15 miles into the woods. Like you literally, like sometimes the roads weren't plowed. And all my friends would call me from like Cal Poly Slow and be like, dude, I had the craziest orgy last night. And I was like, I saw one woman today. And I think it was the male lady, you know, like,
and I followed her for 15 miles in the snow.
Yeah. And then I was a blackout drunk. And so when I went up to Western, I kind of drank and fucked up for a couple years. And then I saw Bill Hicks, that DVD of
Bill Hicks Live. I have that in the other room where it's got his HBO got like half hour,
yeah.
His Montreal hour and his English.
Yeah.
His special from England.
And so I watched that.
Shout out Celeste from my college class that let me borrow that DVD, and I still have it in my other room.
If you want Celeste, it back, Celeste.
Come find it. And you know where to find me. New York, New York.
But I'd been a summer camp counselor every summer, too.
Okay.
That was a big thing, and I'd done like...
Damn, there were so many young girls that had crushes on you, because you were probably like the cool...
That was the only place I think I've ever existed where I literally was the man.
Yeah, you were the counselor that skied and was like, oh, Andy.
It was perfect.
Yeah, they're like, oh, Andy's so cool.
It was, and it was like the most beautiful place in the world. But anyways, I saw Bill Hicks DVD and I said, oh, I can do that. So I literally Googled open mic. There was one 90 miles south at Giggles, which is now Laughs. And I went, and everybody that I saw sucked. And I was like, all right, next week I'll come back. I'll just suck. You know, you can suck at this. And I did, for the rest of my college year, it was my senior year, I did Sunday and Monday night in Seattle, Wednesday night in Vancouver.
Damn, you go up to Vancouver, go to like Comedy Mix?
It was closer than Seattle, it was 60. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Gerard that room. Street. It's closed.
I know.
It fucking sucks.
Because they got into a fight.
Yeah, I know.
Because the brother owns the hotel, and then he got into a fight with his brother, and they
shut
down.
You can't have your comedy club, then.
You can't have your awesome club that everyone loves
that
coming
was,
to.
That was one of the best rooms in the
It was unbelievable.
North
it was perfect.
Amazing. Yeah.
You were in the hotel. You just go down to the basement. You walk in. The room was, like, perfect.
It was...
Yeah, that's kind of... It's funny, because we found comedy in a similar way, where I was like... I always wanted to do stand-up. I like loved stand-up, but I was always like, well, I'm not funny enough for stand-up. And then I went and watched an open mic at Laughs with an S in Tucson. And I went with my buddy Sully and Pete, and we like got drunk on 40s in the parking lot because we were like 20.
Yeah.
And then we went in and watched, and I was like, I can do this.
Yeah.
And then I just came back the next week, had a decent set, then bombed for like 3 months.
Yeah, did you do the thing where you had a couple decent sets, and then you were like, you guys should come out and see me?
I did the thing where I had one good set, was like, come out and watch this. And then the bomb happened. And then it kept happening.
Yeah.
And then I was working at KFMA, and one of the guys on the morning show, a comic named Dave Ashley, who's passed away, but he was really cool. And he pulled me aside and he's like, you're doing mics, right? And I was like, yeah, but I'm bombing. And he's like, are you writing jokes? And I was like, hmm. He's like, you got to write jokes, dude. You got to like go up there prepared. And I was like, huh, I've been going up there just fucking winging it.
I was really lucky because I watched Comedian.
Obsessed with it.
That was what I like watched. I started.
You know what's funny is I understood jokes and I knew what jokes were, but I never, I didn't put the two together until.
Well, you were also probably really funny in your social group.
Yeah, I was the class clown.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, you just class clown it. But Comedian, I was obsessed with.
Yeah, yeah.
My friend Zach bought me that DVD our senior year of high school, and I'd watch that. I mean, it's why I'm such a massive Colin Quinn fan.
Yeah, I mean, I think I watched it. I haven't watched it in a long time, but I used to watch it every time I got something.
Yeah.
As like a remind yourself where you came from kind of thing.
I used to do it once a year. I haven't done it in about a couple of years, but you put it on and the first time you hear Manny go, I feel that there's a certain compulsion for comedians to get on stage, and you see young Sherrod bringing Jerry Seinfeld up. I moved to New York, Joe Liss and I would bond when we became friends by quoting Comedian when we were in the room of, so like we were at Stand Up New York and one time we were quoting the Glenn Miller Band story.
Yeah, yeah.
And Liss was like, right.
I quoted that the other day.
He was like, it's right fucking here. Liss was going nuts. To this day, Liss and I will go, what are you doing this weekend? This weekend? Working here. When Colin was in the tuxedo.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm like, you got to work. I fucking love Colin. He goes, I'm telling you, he's stirring his coffee. He goes, that think tank bit is going to be huge. He goes, DePaulo's got a friend in the think tank. Nick, where's your friend in the think tank? Oh, dude, that movie, I'm upset. If you haven't watched the documentary Comedian, watch it. It is the best documentary about stand-up comedy ever done.
I don't know how to do this anymore, but if you can get the physical DVD.
I have it.
Watch with the director's commentary.
Colin and Jerry.
Colin and Jerry. And there's a part where Orny goes, they're all afraid of me. And Colin goes, nobody's afraid of me.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite part's when Colin complains that there's not enough Diet Coke in the room.
Really?
Yeah, there's like there's a small moment if I remember. He goes, I don't know, I could get another Diet Coke. And you're like, that's so Colin. Oh, like, what you're a fan of.
Can, not bottle.
Yeah, that's so, dude.
Oh, that's great.
I'm going to watch that again. So, wait, the name of you got a special out right now on YouTube.
I got some old stuff. Like I did like a kind of crowd worky thing. I don't know. I guess it came out in the fall at some point.
Yeah.
It was just like I gave an email address out to people going to the show.
Yeah.
And I said, write me topics and then I'll open the email 24 hours before the show.
I love that.
It ended up just being crowd work because it was just like, I would try a bit and then I would bomb and I'd be like, so who's visiting? But I really like it. It turned out really fun. And
it's on your YouTube?
Yeah. And then I have a special from like 2 years ago called The Coward of Gramercy.
Yeah. Which is an unbelievable album.
Oh, thanks, man. I
fucking love
that.
You had some bits on there that make me want to punch a wall. And that's how you know it's a good special.
You actually, because I've always really looked up to you comedically, when you came over to me at Gotham and you said, that astronaut bit, man. Like, did the shake your head thing and don't say anything else? I was like, yes.
Yeah, dude. I love getting mad about a bit.
Yeah.
I just told Adrienne Iapolucci, I saw this. She has this Palestinian bit that I was like, it made me so fucking mad. That's how I know I love a joke when I'm like, I want that. I want a bean feast. I want a bean feast. So at the end of this, check out Andy. He's fucking hilarious. He's the man.
Thanks.
At the end of this podcast,